a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I am feeling good about the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Christmas party at Nick's Place the Monday after next Monday on the 23rd. Going to be a fun time all day long at Nick's Place. But I am not feeling good about the future of the Houston Astros, largely due to a disconnect that I sense between Astros general manager Dana Brown, who is optimistic that Alex Bregman's going to come back to the Astros.
He wants to be here.
Well, yes, for the right price. And Joe Espada, who's saying that the Astros are doing everything they can to bring him back in. In case you didn't hear Dana Brown yesterday at baseball's winter meetings, it's time for another edition of Are You Down With Dana Brown for all the folks at home.
You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see.
Dana Brown, yesterday at the winter meetings, met with Houston area media. He was asked about Alex Bregman, the latest on his potential return, the third baseman drawing interest from a number of teams across the sport. Here is what Dana Brown had to say.
Look, Bregman's outstanding, you know, great defender, good bat, quality AB all the time, done great things here in Houston. We're working on it. We're having a lot of conversations with Scott, and, we're optimistic.
We're working. We're having a lot of conversations. We're optimistic as the Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, and Blue Jays, per Ari Alexander of Channel 2, along with the Astros, are all showing interest in the Astros' third baseman.
Glad they're still having conversations. I'm just not sure they're meaningful conversations. Apparently, he also said today, I just saw this, Dana Brown said he knows Alex loves Bean. I don't know if that matters at all.
That is such an annoying thing to put out there.
Yes.
We know he likes being here. Dude.
Doesn't that feel like... See, okay, is it fair to say...
It's like you're guilt-tripping your child.
They're kind of trying to... The way they're talking about optimism, doing everything they can, confident he'll be back, how important he is to this team. Does it anyway feel like they're trying to kind of make Alex Bregman the heel of
every team
this situation?
Does this,
like they're
for
trying to,
sure.
Yeah, they're trying to paint him as selfish, money happy.
That's what all these teams do. The Red Sox are worse about it than any team in baseball over the last 20 years. But yeah, what Joe they want the Astros fans out there to think. If Bregman leaves, is the same way that they felt about Carlos Correa, the ones that really seemed pissed off at Correa and hold it against him still, that he left. They want people to go full Nick Totoro that we played yesterday, the Yankees fan getting mad that Juan Soto's going, I'm going to burn your jersey! You don't deserve to be a Yankee! You don't deserve to be a New Yorker! Like, they want that, and they will do whatever they can to plant the seeds of anger and F you in the fan base for a player that, God forbid, gets paid what he's due.
Yeah, yeah. It's so I'm going to say, no, I'm not down with Dana Brown.
I am not down with this narrative that he is pushing.
Also, I think the most ironic part about this segment today is in the opening montage, you put in there a clip where Dana Brown says, I was told it's my team and like I have the keys, basically, is what it says. Like, it was one of like, the old clips of Dana Brown.
Right, from way back.
Like, from way back. Like, when he first got here, is he gave off this portrayal, like, he had the keys to the car, and he knew where to drive it. When in reality, I'm not sure what he is. Like, I'm not sure if he's a backseat passenger, or he's just, like, in a minivan, and he's five rows in the back, and can't really say anything of what's going on. So... Sorry, Dana.
More from Dana Brown at baseball's winter meetings. The Astros GM was asked, hey, have you thought about any trade offers? Have you maybe got any trade offers for, I don't know, Framber Valdez? Kyle Tucker, here is the Astros GM.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, you would listen on all the players. I don't think that, you would, turn a deaf ear to any of these guys. I think the big thing is if you have an opportunity to make the club better, that you would at least listen to other clubs and see if there's something that makes sense for the club in the present and also long term.
I mean, I'm done with that. I think that's actually being a good GM. Like, you cannot go in the mindset to where no one's available at any given time. You have to at least listen.
I hear that, Joe, and I hear Jose Altuve is available, and I don't like that kind of thing.
I think it's everyone is available besides Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez.
I don't know. He said everyone's available. He'll hear any offer.
I mean, how's Jose Altuve going to feel when Alex Bregman leaves?
Is he going to demand a trade?
Could you imagine? It'd be burned down park. People would never go again if they traded Altuve.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know how you win your fan. That'll never happen.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But, like, imagine they don't sign Bregman. It's over, like, $20 million. And Altuve just comes out. He's like, I'm outie. Send me to Detroit or wherever Alex is. Like, it'll never happen.
And he would say, I'm outie.
Never, ever, ever, ever happen.
The worst part about it would be Jose Altuve saying outie. I'm outie.
What?
Who says that?
Apparently me. I don't know why I said it. It just kind of happened.
Okay, it just happened. Well, yeah. I think you should stick with it.
Audi?
I'm Audi.
I'm Audi the next 3 days. I won't be here.
Nice. You're hip. You're
Paul,
cool.
Paul's Audi on the Texans.
I'm Audi on hearing Dana Brown talk about Alex Bregman, that's for sure.
Same. Ready for this to be over.
I'm also Audi on the idea of trading Framber or Kyle Tucker ever. I would rather them walk. I would rather try my best, and let's be honest, the Astros won't try that hard. I would rather try my best, in quotation marks, to keep them when they're free agents next offseason than ship those guys off. And I get it. You'd be losing them for nothing. And if you get some prospects, maybe some of those prospects turn into great players down the road. They probably won't.
I'm pro trading them. If it's the right deal. I don't want guys who are going to be A-ball prospects, AA prospects. I want guys who are closer. And I know we had a texter, I think, push back on that a little bit. But, like, I'm not going to be able to get guys who are ready. But you look at, like, Michael King this year, who the Padres got in the Juan Soto deal. And he was up and having a huge impact on them. Like, you can. Like, you can get guys who are in the majors right now if you trade them.
Explain Michael King to me like I'm an idiot when it comes to baseball.
He was a really, really good pitcher for the Padres.
Oh, he's a pitcher? So he was a pitcher? Was he a starting pitcher?
Yes.
Yes. What if Spencer Arrighetti was awesome?
He's Spencer Arrighetti?
I mean, awesome. I'm just meaning like a young guy who made his first MLB start.
Yeah, he came up and he was good right away. For the okay, Padres. Gotcha. And then someone they got in the Juan Soto deal.
Took Arrighetti a little bit of time, but yeah, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
I said it. What if he was awesome?
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah,
fair
I'm open to it. I'm not rushing to it. I'd rather trade Tucker than Framber because I think you at least have a chance to keep Framber. But
I don't want to trade either.
I also don't think you should trade one. You're either all in.
No half measures.
You trade both of them or you don't trade either.
Mike Ehrmantraut over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things ended well for him.
Hey.
They went really good for a while, though.
They did go well for a while. We had a good thing going.
Yeah.
So why shake the boat?
Pushing a lot of blue rocks.
Mike Ehrmantraut did not want everything to get shaken up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wanted Walt to kill Jesse. That's what he wanted because he thought that Jesse was a loose end that would screw everything up.
Correct.
That's what he did.
If they just listened to him, Walt might still be alive.
Well, other than the cancer.
Oh, yeah. I guess the cancer does come.
He would have died from cancer, but, I mean, have they iced Jesse. The show becomes boring. Like this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, instead, he decides to stick up for Jesse.
I get why Vince Gillen gets
But if he had listened to the no half measures approach and they had just stuck to what they were doing, you know what would have happened? A lot of money, a lot of meth, taking down the cartel eventually. All would have worked out.
Mate.
I'm watching Jack Ryan right now, the Apple show. Mm-hmm. Or Amazon Prime, whichever one it is.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
with John Krasinski.
Yeah.
I'm going to restart Breaking Bad as soon as I'm done.
Nice.
I'm ready. I'm ready for, you know, a season of a teddy bear starting the episode in a pool and trying to figure out what's happening. The tease before the big
I feel like that Breaking Bad is the – I mean, this is a social media prompt that gets brought up, I don't know, every 2 weeks of if you could rewatch one show, like was like wipe your memory and watch it again, like what would you choose? I think Breaking Bad's like the easy choice.
Game of Thrones.
Game really? Of Thrones. You want yeah. you won't be disappointed by season 8 again because you don't know what's happening.
If you watch it all in rapid succession and you don't have the long waits in between, it, you're binge watching the whole thing in straight and people
that's how
just
I did it.
Go boom dead. Boom dead. Like that was like a sporting event to me. I not knowing who might die in an episode, which they did so well for the first 4 seasons, was truly fun. It was like someone might die. Horribly.
I will say though,
you like, might like the person.
If like me, you're watching it in like a weekend, not all of it in a weekend, but you're burning through a season in a weekend. Like I only knew Ned Stark for like 12 hours of my life. Like it was,
but you
was
knew pretty... Sean Bean.
Sure.
Oh, okay. You know, you're not familiar with Sean Bean's.
Book. I mean, yeah, the guy from Lord of the Rings and one of the
Patriot Games.
Yes, yeah. I was gonna say the IRA Jack Ryan movie.
A lot of IRA movies. I watched an IRA movie this weekend.
Really?
Michael Collins, starring Liam Neeson. Alan Rickman's in it.
Oh, the Rickman.
And Julia Roberts is in it.
Oh.
I know. I saw it. I was like, wait, what? And the whole movie's just killing. The guy who plays Tywin's in it from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Anyway, it's a good movie.
Dance, yeah.
It's a good movie. Yeah, lots of explosions and lots of people getting killed. It was like basically someone died every like 5 minutes. And then they'd have like these little like lovey-dovey scenes in between because it's a real biography about a real Irish person in the Irish Republic and Army.
The other show for me would be, do you guys watch Sons? Sons of Anarchy?
Notice how we have just shifted away from talking about what Dana Brown had to say.
Well, I'm not down with him.
Yeah, I want to take a pill to forget what Dana Brown just said.
Me too.
At the winter meeting.
Did you watch Sons of Anarchy?
No.
Did you?
No. I haven't watched any of the FX.
I think you might like that one. Because it's kind of got the unpredictability of it. There's only really one bad, like really bad season that you have to push through where they leave the country and go to Ireland for like a whole season.
Oh, that's racist. What, going to Ireland is a bad season?
No, it's really poorly done.
Is it like the farm season in Walking Dead where it's just like, hey, cool, nothing's happening for 4 episodes?
No, something's happening, but it's just a very odd continuation of the storyline that happens.
Always Sunny did a season in Ireland, and that also is weird.
I've never seen Always Sunny. I feel like that's one of the shows I missed.
That is actually a missed.
Yeah.
Is it a good rewatchable now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's been on for 20 years, the first seasons, you're like, whoa.
How did they get away with this?
This was on just cable TV.
It was.
Dude, I was watching an episode of The Office the other day, and I was like, how did they get away with this?
Oh, yeah. You think The Office is bad.
The Office is crazy.
Always Sunny.
They have the one episode where they've changed of The Office, the Christmas episode, where they removed part of Dwight's character because he had blackface. But that's like the only thing they've changed.
I just love the...
yeah. Well, it happened. And they got away with it for a while.
Is Diversity Day still up there?
Yeah. Okay. Which also...
That's good.
That episode's... Isn't that like the first episode?
It's season 1. I know it's early.
It's so early.
Steve Carell got hair plugs.
Yeah, watching that one is just... You're like, wow. They really... Things have changed. We've gotten soft.
All right, guys. We're not down with what Dana Brown had to say. It was nice to forget about him entirely for, 5 minutes?
Yeah, it was nice.
Just talking about TV shows. We're going to have to get used to those TV shows when the Astros fade back to the middle of the pack and all of you diehard Astros fans, suddenly not so diehard. I won't judge you. Joe might. I won't.
I won't judge you. I just know what to expect, so that's why I won't judge.
I will judge when... When, yes, again, we can't really talk about a middling Astros team, but then also if we try to talk Texans, people are like, why are we talking Texans in July?
People do that when we talk about them in December.
Yeah, at a certain point, it's just like, what are we allowed to talk about?
Well, in this city, nothing, in fact, you know?
Yeah, we're going to become a non-sports show if the Astros are not good. What else is community?
The funny
Rockets trade rumors for 3 months.
Oh yeah, Jimmy
now
Butler.
That's possible. That's possible.
I mean, it won't be for 3 months.
But right now, Jimmy Butler. Huh? Who says no? I mean, who says no?
I say probably the Rockets.
Tom Ball's own.
I say no.
Shams Charania called him Houston native. In the piece,
Joel's gonna yell at him. Jimmy's gonna yell at him for that one.
Yeah,
why Joel?
I meant Jimmy.
I don't know. Sounds like you meant something else.
Yelling J name.
Yelling J name. Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Did you just have like a flashback to Joel doing
something? No, I had a flashback to being yelled at by Jimmy Butler.
Oh, he yelled at you?
Yes. Yeah. I was like my first time ever doing an interview in 2016.
Okay.
At Toyota Center for Team USA Basketball, and I said, "What's it like being back in Houston?" And he goes, "I'm not from Houston. I'm from Tomball." And I was like 22, and I was like, So how's the game?
We learned where he's from thanks to you. We learned where he represents.
Yeah.
Not the H. He represents the T. He's got high T because Tomball's high up.
Yeah, it's north.
Y'all mean? Northside.
I don't think he's all. I think Northside's like Tomball's not Northside.
It's not?
I mean, it's just north.
Yeah.
So do they talk like they're the
suburbs? Yes.
No, okay. Well, do they. What? Is there a northern accent up in Tomball? I haven't been that far. I don't go outside the loop. You see, there's lots of barbarians out there. It's difficult. The suburbs,
yeah,
scary.
The wildlings. Yeah.
Scary place. So it's like, do people up in Tomball, do they sound like they're from Winterfell?
No, it's just very far, though.
They're walking on the walls. There's White Walkers up on 249.
Oh, all right, that was terrible.
Is the Beltway the wall for you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yes. Go outside that. Oof. Might not come back because the traffic will take forever to get back.
Yeah, you get one accident, you're back in 3 hours.
Okay. Well, anyway, listen, let's just keep doing anything but talking about...
No thanks on Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, no thanks on Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, I'm a no thank you.
Yeah, same age as Kevin Durant. Similar questions with his body holding up and...
More content,
but also I don't think... The Rockets are now officially good enough to where we don't have to do, like, just be interesting. It's like, they're already interesting. Like, there's no need to trade for a 36-year-old.
Yeah, I'm not trading like Jabari and a Terror Twin.
Don't say that. They don't like it. They don't like being called the Terror Twins.
Says who?
Says Amen Thompson.
Wait, when did he say that?
Yeah, he's talking about it with Tim McMahon, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't." Just like a 7 out of 10 nickname.
Yeah, and
he wants a better nickname.
But the one he wanted was like calls Duo. I'm like, that's worse.
I like
what?
That.
Of course, Paul likes that.
Just call him Duo.
Yeah,
that's so lame.
Call the both of them Duo. So you have Duo coming off the bench.
I like it. Yeah.
That's not creative.
It is creative.
Terror Twin is better than that. 7 out of 10.
Terror Twins. No. I'm sorry.
What? They're just tearing down boards.
Yeah.
Flying around.
Terrorizing offenses.
I don't like two tall people that are Terror Twins.
I understand.
Hey, other teams have Twin Tower lineups. We have the Terror
Twins.
Aren't
they number 9 and number 11?
No.
Okay, that's good.
One's number one. The other one, I forgot what Easton wears.
If they were, they'd have to change it. That would
be bad.
You would have
to. If you can't do the 713 connection with no. them, okay.
No.
Man.
Or they have to go all in and do it.
Right? The Astros winter meetings have ruined the day. They just have ruined the day. They've ruined it. Thanks, Dana Brown. Thanks, Joe Espada, for trying. Joe at least tried. Dana Brown... I am very down.
He said they're optimistic.
That's great. I'm not.
He also kind of like went, yeah, we're optimistic. Like it was like his heart was not into it.
Yeah, the way he said optimistic was not optimistic.
Play it again, please. Just for the class, so that everyone can hear it one more time. And then we'll do it in case you missed it and laugh at a baseball writer that did to somebody else what he once did to me. Here is Dana Brown.
Look, Bregman's outstanding, you know, great defender, good bat, quality AB all the time, done great things here in Houston. We're working on it.
Yeah.
We're having a lot of conversations with Scott, and, we're optimistic.
We're working on it.
I think it's just a look.
We're working on
it. He's annoyed.
Well.
No, we're optimistic.
When you say leave an offer that's for 6 years and $156 million, and you don't come back with another offer when that didn't get the guy signed, we're working on it. You say, as you're essentially rolling your eyes with your tongue, I'm not buying it.
We're working.
Yeah, that's an annoyed we're working. I don't think you're working. I think you've worked. I think you put it in your 9 to 5 and now you hung up your hard hat and your lunch pails in the pantry.
Yeah, I do feel like we're in like past tense now.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the second he goes, you know, Bregman was a great player for us. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, they've all started to do that a little bit. They started doing the was. Not is.
I will remember you. Or will continue to be. You.
You know,
you remember me?
You know how news, you know, papers and websites, they'll like pre-write an obituary for a very old famous person? Should we just like do a segment of Alex Bregman's greatest hits? Just have that like in the can already?
Honestly, yeah. You probably should have had it done like a month ago.
I'll do it.
Just... Does Alex Bregman get his number retired when he
retires? I'll put it together last second and it won't be as good as it could. Just like Dana Brown's offer to Alex Bregman right now.
Boom. Honestly, I might like call like my parents and just be like, hey, I know I'm supposed to be on vacation, but you got to watch the kid. If Alex Bregman leaves officially while I'm gone the next 3 days, I might have to come in for like an hour. Because I'd be sad to miss that conversation. I'll be honest.
Judging by the tone of today's show, it would be sad, but not to miss it. It'd be sad to have it.
That's true. That's a good point.
I'm sad. Anyway, hey, what did you miss over the weekend in sports? At least you're not the Titans. At least you're not the Giants. And at least you're not this very angry baseball writer, who, by the way, has blocked me for doing exactly what this guy did. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Get the inside scoop on the Houston Texans 2024 season each week with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemae.
Just because you're going against a great defense doesn't mean the offense can't be effective. Like, that's not how the NFL works.
Every Tuesday at 2 and every Friday at 5, DJ joins ESPN 97.5 to give his analysis and break down the latest news from the Texans.
CJ told us he's trying to have more command of the offense.
Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
Said furnished by Nesmith Taju LLC. Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
We should do what my brother did. He went to 79cash.com and got $3,000.
With our bad credit?
79cash.com is different. They're one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope. My brother said it was fast and easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan of up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account as soon as the next day. Our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history.
Great news. I went to 79cash.com, and we'll have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to 79cash.com. That's 79cash.com. 79cash.com.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not. And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
We'll keep you posted on what's going on with the Houston Astros, with Alex Bregman and everything else at baseball's winter meetings the rest of the show and on tomorrow's show. John Heyman is a baseball writer who covers the sport. He is someone who has blocked me on X. Why did he do that? Well, I made a joke about some post he had talking about Felix Hernandez making a comeback. It was, I thought, very clearly something that Scott Boras, agent of Felix Hernandez at the time, had probably told him to say. So I just quote tweeted it and said, sure, comma, Scott. That's it. That's it. And unbeknownst to me, because he blocked me, he responded to me with 3 to 4 different tweets saying, like, no one knows who you are. And the people who sent me screenshots of them, he seemed like he might have been, I don't know, let's just say, having a beverage or two. Could have been coffee. Could have been something else. Anyway, he routinely joins WFAN in New York for weekly interview hits. And someone made a joke about him being Scott Boras's agent, or excuse me, Scott Boras's errand boy on the air. Jokingly done. A little bit later in the interview, John Heyman had had enough.
3 years later, no regrets. I think.
Like,
at some point, I think someone could probably drop it if they're a nice person.
What I think is it just like how I introduced you. Everybody in baseball knows who you are. So, one, it's a credit to your work, your following.
Yeah,
and how,
by the way, I won't be going on with you again. The whole thing has been a disaster.
That's okay.
I can't even believe you said that to question my integrity.
Are you being serious right now?
I'm being serious, yeah.
John.
Ask me if I'm getting a cut because I have a relationship with an agent. That's outrageous. I know you're not a journalist. You don't know anything about this. I know you get you don't, but that's an outrageous comment.
It's Friday night at 8:30, John.
You should know that much.
And I am
not done with you.
I'm not taking this that serious.
Goodbye,
John. Thank you for joining us.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you,
John. I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your time. He's got to get to bed.
He's got to get to bed. Great comment by the radio host.
No, I can't believe it at the end. It's incredible.
So good.
To have that much of a mental breakdown on the air because someone made a joke. They were taking a cut from an agent.
Why didn't he just hang up there?
Yeah, just hang up. I couldn't believe it. Like the whole diatribe is like, I'm done with you. I'm done with WFAN.
I can't believe it.
I mean, I don't.
It wasn't.
I can't even
John.
Believe it.
Thank
I can't
you,
even believe it.
Like the voice crack is just incredible.
By the way, he wasn't done because some people, I guess, were trolling him. Is this real, Joe? Are these posts real or are they doctored? I don't know what's real and what isn't anymore. And the man has blocked me on X, so I can't see it.
I think this is the. I think this is real.
Somebody responded to him jokingly saying, did you drop any N-bombs after you hung up? Because I believe this WFAN host is black.
Yeah.
Heyman responded after. Steven Rizzotto responds to him, John, delete this. John Heyman responds, I would never use that word. I thought he said F-bombs.
Well, he didn't say anything, you moron. He typed it. God.
I thought he said F-bombs.
I love John Heyman.
Oh, yeah. It's real because...
He's very tall. I'll give him that.
Yeah, because he doubled down.
Shout out to him. He's tall. Does he stand tall when called out for perhaps doing the bidding of Scott Boras? No.
No, this is... I'm thank you.
Believe it.
Thank you for putting this in case you missed it, because I was going to be super bummed if this was in Soft Boys tomorrow and we didn't get to discuss it. Because this is your Soft Boy of the Year. Congratulations to Johnny.
Ooh.
Of the Year.
I think so.
Should we... Oh, man, we have to start working on that. Probably yeah. For next week, right?
Did he know he was on the air? I mean, like, that's what I can't get past. Like, you know everyone's going to crush you for this if you
end
it.
That station.
He just didn't have to do that last part, too. Like, I think if he had just dug up, people would be like, oh, well, he's kind of soft. But then he's like, I can't believe it.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John.
That's so funny.
Yeah, like, if he just says, I can't believe it twice, even, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Here's
but the voice crack is on.
I can't even
John.
Believe it.
Thank you, John.
Oh, that guy.
I don't think I've ever had anyone, like, be...
That angry?
That angry.
No,
like, in a phone interview.
I've never had...
No, they're normally super chill.
Brian Straw and I got mad at each other a couple of times when we were doing shows back in the day. We're both Irish. We'd get over it in the commercial break. Mike Meltzer saying that to Unbearable to Seth Payne 12 times in a segment. That was close, but no. That Heyman, the rage.
And, also... it's very funny that he goes, this is a Friday at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Like, it's very funny. It's like, wow, what a show to have your, like, giant breakdown on. And I think Heyman's protesting too much.
I agree.
I think the fact that this gets under his skin so much, not that there's, like, he's actually getting a cut off of Soto's contract. He's not getting, like, 1% of Soto's contract. But, like, it's very obvious that he is doing some mouthpiecing for Scott Boras, which is not uncommon in any way.
It's
like,
not.
Ask Adam Schefter, ask Sham Sharania, like,
sure.
All these guys.
Well, I don't get why he's so sensitive to it. I mean, yeah, that's what you do. It's fine. You, people know about you. You're clearly well respected by some as a baseball reporter.
Yeah, I don't know.
As
why.
A reporter, he's well respected.
Yeah, but oof.
Yeah, part of this is because it was the anniversary too of the
Arson Judge
going to the Giants.
Hmm.
That John Heyman broke and was wrong about
and misspelled Aaron Judge's name.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think that was kind of where it started, part of the conversation.
Oh, okay.
But like that context matters. It's the 2 year anniversary of this. Like, it's a very funny moment. Like, you got it wrong, but like you spelled his name wrong.
This is why the
Yankees official Twitter account uses arson in their Twitter sometimes.
These are the stewards of the game, and their lack of self awareness is hilarious.
It is funny that every other sport's like newsbreakers are like Sham Sharania, who, say what you want about him, like, you at least take him seriously when he says something, when he reports something, when he's on TV, unless he's wearing a weird leather jacket. I know Paul remembers that because you mentioned it like 4 times that show.
Oh yeah,
Look at me.
But like, baseball and reporters, like, are weird.
Yeah, like Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, like you at least are like, yeah, I when this guy says it, it happens. Like, the fact that John Heyman is up there, I don't know if he's number one when it comes to baseball newsbreakers, but he's obviously up there, and he has the Arson Judge thing, he has this thing on his resume.
Yeah, like, it's Rosenthal, like, and Passan, but then, like, your next group is guys like, I mean, he doesn't come on the station anymore, but, like, Nightingale, who's wrong about everything, basically, unless it comes directly from the Astros. John Heyman, who's wrong about things all the time. Like, and these are the same clowns who, like,
clowns.
These are going to be the guys who keep Jose Altuve out of the Hall of Fame. Like, people who get so upset when you question their integrity because they fall for stuff like this all the time. They just say whatever agents tell them to say.
They just need to have a sense of humor. Schefter has a sense of humor, for what it's worth. He does.
Jeff Passan.
Jeff Passan has a sense of humor.
No, so, but didn't Lance have to do, like, some kind of apology? I apologize if I got the story wrong.
No,
like,
idea.
Before I got here, that, like... Like,
no,
a long time ago.
No,
like,
I idea. Truly don't know.
Like, I just feel like baseball writers, the national ones, all are so uptight.
Yeah,
because they think they cover the special sport.
I was going, like, to say.
Sorry, I think it's just because you're away from your families for every day ever.
Damn, Joe. Aww.
But they are.
I think that's a joke.
That job sucks.
I was going to say.
That job sucks.
I was going to say it's because they're dinosaurs. And
yeah, but
they're
John Heyman's, like, not old. Like, the dinosaurs are mostly gone.
He's not?
And, like, well, he's old, but, like, he's not, like, dinosaur old.
He's not Bob Ryan.
What's dinosaur old?
Peter Gammons?
Yeah. That's what our interns call me, dude.
they treat all of us old.
Even
treat
me
older.
I catch some of it.
They treat me way older than they treat you, for what it's worth.
They still call me sir.
Well, yeah, you're middle management, sir.
I guess I'm technically
their boss. Yeah, you are their boss.
I've been calling you sir all show. Didn't get a raise for that. Hmm. Interesting.
It's not even a Christmas bonus. Scrooge.
Christmas bonus? What's that?
What's a bonus?
You know.
Yeah. Scrooge over here.
Mr. Endorsements over here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I haven't had a live read today. Am I jealous?
It's true.
Yeah. Rough Sunday for the Tennessee Titans. I'm not going to lie. Ryan Callahan sounded like he was on the verge of tears again while talking about another rough weekend for the Tennessee Titans.
Our defense played their tails off today. I thought we covered well on special teams. They were challenged to not let them start outside the 30. We never let them do that. We played great run defense for most of the game. And then at the end of the day, we needed to score in the red zone. We were 0-for-2 down there, and that's the difference in a tight ball game, in a divisional game. And that's you got to score touchdowns down there, and we didn't. So we're 0-for-2, and that's the difference in the ball game. you know, again, I thought there was a lot of positive things. We put ourselves in position and didn't execute when we had to have it the most, which is down there tight. Again, I'm disappointed in the outcome, certainly. But at the end of the day, we didn't do enough to win again. So
got to watch the video. The man looked like he's about to cry. A lot of positive things. Dude, you lost 10-6 to Mac Jones. Yeah. You're up 6-0 in the fourth.
And, like, at the end of the first half, when you're not really in field goal range or anything to do, you put your quarterback in harm's way, and he got squished by Joshua Hines-Allen and hurt his shoulder.
Oh.
Like, it was the only thing on red zone at the time because their game was so slow. And, my God, he got rocked.
Yeah.
Like, at first it looked like a broken collarbone. He obviously came back, but...
Yeah, it's not going well for them there. They did beat the Texans amazingly. Jeffrey Simmons after the game also. I feel bad for this guy. He's actually a good player. He's stuck with this team, with this coach who seems on the verge of tears after every single week. Here's Jeffrey Simmons.
Frustrating. We talk about it all week. We got to play complimentary football and two turnovers, and if you win a turnover margin, there's no way you shouldn't win the game. At the end of the day, I'm really just tired of saying the same. This sucks. And then apparently, we're not in a position, and we don't do enough to win games. And all the way around, I'm tired of seeing our quarterback on the ground. I'm tired of seeing him squirreling on the damn ground, actually.
His head getting beat. What does squirreling on the ground mean?
I think that's when he
run over by a car.
Squirming, I think that's when he hurt his shoulder.
He said squirreling.
No, but maybe it's like squirming, or he's just kind of.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's like, I think it's a reference to the end of the first half where he's in a lot of pain.
Yeah,
on the ground. Yeah, I mean that's a very direct shot at your offense. Like, we won the turnover battle, and I'm tired of seeing my quarterback.
Yeah, it is funny that a defensive lineman is being like, we need to keep our quarterback upright. Like that. Like you said, it's a direct shot at the offense.
They won a game where he got sacked 8 times, 6 times in the first half.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I agree. He's getting hit a lot.
It's hard to tell, like, what kind of quarterback he could actually be because he's just getting bullied all the time.
I have some thoughts.
Yeah, he's a bit of a doofus with some of the decisions he makes.
Drake May's getting hit a lot.
He's tough.
He's been better.
Could Will Levis be the next Jameis Winston?
Maybe.
Is he lovable enough?
I think so. Has a soul and crab legs.
I think he could be.
I think that the Mayo advertisement campaign, which has failed, I think that works against him.
Yeah, but like he could be like, he has a backup quarterback on another team. One week throws for 300 yards, next week throws for 400 yards, but for like 4 interceptions.
But the key part of being that kind of backup is that you are lovable behind the mic. Like Jameis Winston, if he was boring, would just be like,
yeah, that's true.
This bus sucks. Why did the Browns keep running him out there?
That's true.
It was a rough weekend for the New York Giants as well. A plane flew around the stadium saying, Mr. Mara, owner of the New York Giants, enough. Please fix this dumpster fire. Here's Malik Nabers being asked about that after the game.
Again, Mr. Mara, please fix this dumpster fire. How do you, as a player, what do you make of that?
I ain't paid for the plane.
He agrees with it, though.
What a response. I didn't pay for the plane.
He's right.
I mean, that's the only way to respond to that.
Yeah.
Just be like,
try
to make.
Honestly, it's like, even though I feel like the way you ask it is like, so did you see this plane flying around? Like, just, you know, they're not going to like be like, agree.
Yeah. Being like, yeah, we do. I mean, or
yeah,
if
Mr.
they,
Mara,
if they do it, they do it like how Jeffrey Simmons did it, where it's like, we have to be better. We know this, blah, blah, blah. But him just going, I don't know. I didn't pay for it. Kind of makes me think he paid for it, by the way.
Oh, sus watch.
They lost the game to a Saints team that lost Derek Carr in that game. They lost it on a blocked field goal where this defensive lineman for the Saints just jumped over their offensive line. And, I mean, the Saints signed Ben DiNucci today, for God's sake. So, like, that's where they're at, and you lost to that team. And the highlight of the game for the New York Giants is that a Giants player, per ML football, gave an OnlyFans girl tickets so that she could flash the Saints to distract them over the course of the game, and there is a picture of her flashing
them. I mean, you can't say the players don't care. Like,
well, they got money.
He sent her tickets.
He's trying to win.
Yeah, he's trying.
By any means necessary.
The players don't care about.
Neighbors is buying planes. This guy, whoever he is,
he didn't buy no plane.
Buying flashing.
Yeah, he's trying to get a home field advantage.
They're trying, man. They're trying to show the fans how much they love being Giants.
Okay.
Must be miserable to be a New York Giant.
Being a New York sports fan.
Yeah, pretty rough.
Unless you're a Mets fan.
Unless you're playing the Texans.
But you're also a Jets fan. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Juan Soto news like kind of balances out all the bad right now.
Yeah, not if you're a Yankees fan.
But the Giants and Jets are 3-0 against the Texans in the last year and a half. Maybe it was 2 years. When did the Giants play the Texans last?
I have no idea.
They did beat them. That's all you need to know. So.
Yeah, but wasn't that Davis Mills?
Yeah. So.
Veto. That still doesn't count.
That still counts.
Still counts.
All the Steven Silas Rockets losses to the Warriors count.
New York football teams are 2-0. Want to just go straight into garbage time?
Yeah, let's do it.
It sounds like we're already there.
Saquon Barkley rushed for 152 yards in that game. Holy crap.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Been a rough day for folks named Luigi the past 24 to 48 hours. The man who allegedly shot the CEO of United Healthcare has had some of his old tweets exposed. He tweeted this out in 2018. I don't know, man. Lamar Jackson just seems like he should be a running back in the NFL. Just when you thought shooting somebody was bad, now this man's a racist.
Yeah, you got Bill Polian takes going on.
So a rough day for Luigi's, but also a rough day for Mario's. Did anyone see the story of a Mexican man who tried to hijack a plane?
I saw the story.
Yeah. Can you guess what his name was? Mario. So you got Mario hijacking planes, and you got Luigi shooting somebody in an assassination attempt in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Broad daylight.
That's not great. That's bad for the brand.
Definitely bad for the brand. Nintendo stock probably took a little hit.
I was going to say, does Nintendo have to step in? I don't know what they do, but they just... They have to do something.
Yeah. Mario.
Oh, man.
Don't stay for this.
They need someone named Yoshi to keep their nose clean.
Mm. Toad.
Toad. Is there anyone named Bowser?
Yeah. I'm sure there's a Bowser out there.
I wonder if Nancy Pelosi shorted Nintendo stock. By the way, is this a big deal or a no big deal? This was a Doug Gottlieb tweet that went viral a couple of weeks ago. He retweeted some just terrible thing that you would generally see on Facebook. It's essentially a calendar of December with all the days listed as pretend to work, don't pretend anymore, say you're going to start shopping for Christmas presents, actually start shopping for Christmas presents, nostalgia, and destroying your body with food and alcohol.
Yeah, people are freaking out about this, right?
Yeah, because Doug Gottlieb just tweeted out a picture of like how he spends his December, but it's not actually how he spends his December. People are like, you can't say that! You're a basketball coach and sports talk show host.
Yeah, now if he was just a sports talk radio host, definitely get it. Because I also follow some of these.
Come on, man.
No, the green ones.
Destroying your body with alcohol.
Yeah. The green ones.
Christmas through New Year's Eve, yeah.
I will say it is tough to tweet that. What day did he tweet that?
December 3rd.
Oh, okay.
So he was in the pretend award.
Has he lost some games since then?
Yes, he lost by 9 to IU Indianapolis. I think that used to be IUPY. On Saturday, this one stinks. He lost to Cleveland State by 22.
Ooh,
yikes.
They're 2-8 on the season.
Yeah, I know. I saw the video where he benched like his best player for not working hard.
I like that.
Ooh, they have a 102-69 loss to Ohio State.
Not nice.
I think they scored almost 70 points against Ohio State. That's a Big Ten team.
That is good. That's 8 more points than they scored against Cleveland State.
Where is he
later.
At? UW?
Green Bay.
That's right.
It just says Green Bay Phoenix.
No, this is such a stupid thing to get mad about. Like, for like,
I can't believe a college basketball coach tweeted this.
I would just like him to stay away from repurposing memes that were probably posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
It shows you how old he is.
It's also, are you trying to be Lane Kiffin with the Twitter thing? Also,
he's a sports talk show host, though, and
I would have problems with that.
A basketball
still.
Coach.
I would still have problems with that if I was a Green Bay basketball coach or basketball fan. Then I'm like, wait, we hired a guy who still hosts a midday radio show?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah, why isn't it nights? Although that would
that would conflict even more. Midday is like, kind of the only time you can
practice.
Do it.
In the morning?
Probably in the afternoon. Maybe the morning. I don't know.
But then, like, when he fills in for Dan Patrick, like, the players just, like, change their schedules.
I don't know if he can fill in. I don't know. I think he would have to say goodbye to that stream.
Oh, he still does.
Oh, he still does?
He still fills in for Dan Patrick.
Does he have fill-in coaches? Do coaches fill in?
See, that's what I kind of wondered. It's like, if he's, like, a CEO coach, and, like, how often is he there? Like, is he missing practice? Like, hey, guys, got to do my bad radio show.
Can he coach on Zoom?
I mean.
I didn't say bad radio show, by the way. Again, it might be good. I don't know.
My name's Joe. I said it.
Again, they're 2-8 in the Horizon. Or no, they haven't started Horizon League play. So I would say that whatever they're doing is not successful.
Okay. There's still time,
but
though.
It's year one.
Maybe the other teams that he plays against will be following this calendar that everyone is afraid that he's following in December.
It doesn't look like they have because they're on a 5-game losing streak.
Ah. Well, one win is all it takes.
Yeah.
But alas, earwax. And on that note, that's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George for our texters, Twitchers, YouTubers, and everybody else. Not Dana Brown. I am merely Paul Gallant for Sean Mapes, for Joe George. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.